Thank you for tuning in to this week's episode of Last Stop Waterfowl Outdoors. On this week's show, we have a jam-packed episode, so we hope you enjoy it. So sit back, relax, grab a cold beverage, and let's talk everything there is to know in Louisiana outdoors. Folks, welcome to Game Changer Boats. Don't fall for production boat quality. Many production aluminum bay boats and boats are constructed using 100 gauge in aluminum and are only welded on the outside of the hull, creating weaknesses that promote cracking. The lightness of the construction also increases the roughness of the ride of the boat. Game Changer Boats uses superior materials, thicker aluminum, and better built techniques for your boat. Rest assured knowing that we take pride in the construction of your next boat. If you're in the market for a new boat, visit Game Changer Boats at www.gamechangerboats.net or visit us on Facebook today to place your order. This episode of Last Stop Waterfowl Outdoors Podcast is also brought to you by SRD20 Boat Products. It shouldn't be hard work. SRD20 products use advanced nanotechnologies in its formulations, explicitly designed for boat maintenance. From boat waxes for detailing to waterless wash and wax products, SRD20 has boat care products that keep your boat protected from the elements and looking brand new. Visit them online at www.srd20.com and enter promo code LASTSTOP for 20% off all SRD20 products today. Hey, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to a brand new episode of Last Stop Waterfowl Outdoors. Guys, glad to be back with you again this week, and thank you so much for taking time to tune in with us this week. But this week, I'm really excited, guys. We are on location this week. We are down here in Prairieville, Louisiana, and we have a couple of guests on the show that we hope you guys enjoy spending some time with. I'm glad to have them on. They're some friends of mine that I've known for quite a while, and I'm looking forward to hearing their story and also getting their story out to other outdoorsmen just like me. So guys, without further ado, I'd like to hop right into it. I want to welcome Taylor and Grant from Riot Outdoors. Guys, welcome to the show. Welcome to Last Stop Waterfowl Outdoors Podcast.
Happy to be here.
Yeah.
Good, man. Good. Yeah. Well, we've gone back quite a while now. We've known each other for many years now, and I'm much older than these guys are right here, guys. But I feel like we have a lot of stuff that we share in common.
Oh, absolutely.
And our love for the outdoors is the main thing, and we're going to touch on that a little bit this week. So, first of all, thank y'all so much for being on the show. Glad to have y'all. I know we talked about this for a while. We had talked about getting together. But kind of fill everybody in who may not be familiar with Riot Outdoors. What is Riot Outdoors about? Kind of how did it come about? And let's talk a little bit about it.
Yeah, man. You know, we should have started it years ago. But, you know, basically, I mean, we've always kind of been the ones that post videos, pictures, all that on social media. And I know Grant for sure. Like, Grant's always had thousands of followers on Instagram and stuff like that. Just everyday videos and pictures of us going fishing.
Just posting, you know, normal fishing trips, just bragging about our catches, and
we know, just outdoorsmen outdoorsmen.
Yeah, exactly.
Just wanted to share it with the world.
You know, and that's a good point that you make, because you know, when I was coming up at y'all age, and especially years ago when I first met y'all, I look at y'all were like some younger guys than I was, obviously. But when I was coming up, we didn't have the social media, we didn't have Facebook, we didn't have Instagram, none of that type of stuff. So, you know, when y'all are coming up at that age, you know, you had all that type of social media to be able to go out and, you know, track trips that you went on, whether it was a fishing trip, a hunting trip, that type of stuff. And what I love about it, my wife always laughs. She says, you got to take a camera with you everywhere you go. Or you got to record something every time you go. And I told her, I said, one of my favorite things is when you get those memories pop up, like on Facebook or IG, any of that type of stuff, and you kind of see the transition in your experiences in the outdoors through the years.
Yeah, just through the recaps, like on Facebook and stuff. It's so funny. Or like, especially like my Snapchat.
Yeah.
It'll just pop up memories. I'm like, dang, I don't remember that fishing trip.
Correct.
You know, from 7 years ago.
But yeah, I mean, within our life, I mean, we were there right when YouTube started and everything started popping off, and you know, so it's, I've always kind of drifted towards the side of wanting to YouTube, wanting to, you know, it's just about sharing, you know, what we love to do with everybody out there.
Yeah, and it's almost like you kind of get the enjoyment of, like, not only entertaining people, but being able to maybe teach someone, right?
Correct.
So, and I know, I'm sure you can agree with that.
I do. I agree with that 100%. We get people all the time, and you guys, y'all do some really good work, guys. And we'll touch on that, kind of where people could find you if they're not familiar with y'all already. But y'all do some really good work, and I was just complimenting y'all. I said the videos that y'all are putting out right now, top-notch, excellent. I know you guys, I could tell just talking to y'all when we were talking about editing and stuff like that, how passionate you are to go out. You said you had got some new software that y'all fired up to kind of go out explore some opportunities with. But you got to have that passion, because being a digital creator like you guys are, mm-hmm. like we are, and many of our friends that we talk to, it's a full-time job, really. And most of us, it's not really a full-time job. But it takes, if you're going to do it right and do good content, it's almost like a full-time
job. Oh, yeah. I mean, any given Wednesday, it became a tradition to edit videos on Wednesday nights.
There you go.
And I can tell you now, me and him will spend 4 or 5 hours in here after working all day just to edit one video, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, that's if we get it finished.
And that's, we could spend that much time on that one video and then still have half the video to go.
To finish, yeah.
And I've kind of fallen in love with the photography end of it, the videography, and I grew up fishing. I love fishing. I love hunting, but it's just kind of drifting towards getting into that world of editing things and sharing it with everybody, and just the transitions and everything. It's so intriguing to me, and it's super fun to learn.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not only that, it's satisfying.
It is.
Like when you sit back and like, man, I spent 8 hours on this.
You know? That's kind of your baby.
Yeah.
You know, that each video is kind of your baby. Yeah. Each podcast that you do is kind of your baby. That's the way I look at it. Mm-hmm. And I find myself, when I release a new podcast, I'm checking the analytics on it. I'm looking to see, are we increasing listenership? Are we, you know, videos? I started with the podcast first, me personally. That's kind of what I started doing out first when we started Last Stop. And I really wish I'd have kind of did more video in the beginning, but I'm coming late to that game. But you guys, you have some great video out there right now. And that passion for the outdoors is obviously, it's showing big time with y'all right now.
Yeah, thank you.
So Riot Outdoors, I mean, I'm assuming that started out of that passion for the outdoors, right?
Yeah, 100%. Absolutely. 100%.
How'd the name come about? Riot Outdoors. Tell us about
it. We sat there and tried to figure out names, but I am blessed with the last name Terrio.
Okay.
Which, if you spell it out, it's Theriot. The Riot.
Yeah, there you
so
go.
We just took Riot, slapped Outdoors on the end of it, and ran with it.
That's pretty cool.
If you want to take it back even further, back in the day,
oh, Lord,
we used to be Fish or Die.
I remember that.
And what's crazy is, man, if we would have ran with that and gotten it trademarked, I mean, now it's a
TV
show.
Show.
I mean, they have the entire bait company, Fish or Die bait company.
Yep.
It was five guys?
Yeah, it was like five of us back in, I'm talking about.
That's back in high school.
Yeah, 2009, 10, maybe, something like that. But yeah, Riot Outdoors, I guess it just came easy. I was like, bro, I said, your last name. Everybody outside of Louisiana, it's funny. You'll hear him pronounce Terrio as the Riot.
Yeah.
The Riot.
The Riot, that's how they say it.
A lot of people see it and read it and just be like, the Riot.
But I mean, it also, you know, it makes sense, right?
Yeah.
You go have fun, you're having a riot.
Yeah,
right?
So, that's right. That's awesome. I mean, I would have never thought that until you explained that just now.
Yeah,
but it
just clicked. I mean, it was, we just sat there and we were talking about it, and we've always been saying, oh, look, we need a video. We do all of these trips, and then we'll sit there in the living room after work or something, and we'll watch hours of YouTube videos on fishing and hunting and everything outdoors. Well, we do the same thing. We can enjoy and entertain people just as much, I would think.
That's right.
You know,
I mean, the influence, you know, when you look at things nowadays, you know, YouTube is now the second largest search platform in the world, second only to Google.
Yeah.
So a lot of people, that's what they watch.
Yeah.
They don't watch TV.
That's, no, I mean, and I'm like that too. I come from the old generation of cable TV and satellite TV and all that. But I find myself now, just because of my passion in outdoors, that's what I watch, YouTube. I don't even have a cable subscription.
Yeah, you don't need it.
You know, I don't need it, because I used to have to wake up and watch the Outdoor Channel for
a
certain show at a certain
time.
That's exactly right. Now you had to wake up, catch Bill Dance on a Sunday morning.
Roland Martin was always right after.
That's right. All the old greats. Now, with the technology we got with YouTube and all that, we can pull that up whenever the hell we want now. Yeah. You know?
It could be 3 o'clock in the morning.
That's it.
But I think it's there.
You really talk about influence. That's where it comes from. Like, you ask why we wanted to start it.
Yeah.
Because we watch it all the time. We see guys and we're like, man, if we could go hang out with those guys, they're the same as us. They act the same and like the same stuff. And we're like, we've been doing the pictures and little videos for forever, so we finally just decided, let's do it. Let's start a YouTube channel.
Let's grow this thing.
Yeah. And it's fun, man.
We've dove head first, into this.
You sure have, because you guys grew very quickly.
Within a year, we had that big camera. We have 4 GoPros.
Yeah, the drone.
The drone. I've got multiple lenses, mics, everything, editing software and all that. But it's like, you get into it and you enjoy it and you just want to grow that passion.
Correct.
You get all those tools to help you be one step better at what you're doing to, eventually help somebody else out and do somebody something or just entertain.
Yeah. Correct. I mean, it's like, if your wife asks you, you got enough fishing rods?
Yeah.
Never. Same thing with us. That's how we are. We're like, man, they got this new camera out of the market.
Yeah.
I want it.
Looking for the next microphone.
So I'm telling you, man, the passion... kind of shifts. Like, you still have, you still want the fishing and the hunting, but like, now for both of us, it's like, I can't wait to make another video. Let's sit down. Let's edit.
Yeah, the creative side comes
in. Oh, absolutely. We would sit there and try to make a video, but we'd go fishing and we'd get so hard stuck on fishing that we're like, oh, well, we didn't film any of it.
Yes.
And we're like, we have 2 clips of going, hey guys, good morning, and then that's it.
Correct. And I still find myself doing that.
Oh,
sometimes.
No, we struggle with it.
It's getting into it so much, And I tell Jackson, my son, he's in a lot of the videos and the podcasts with us. I tell him, I say, that's why people got cameramen. That's why they got That's why they got editors that go in the field with them.
It's so hard to focus on one or the other.
It's hard to be the star of the show and the editor of the show, the director of the show, all that type of stuff.
It's a lot.
It is. It's a battle. And people think, you get a lot of... Do you guys... Let me ask you that. Do y'all get a lot of hate online from, like, hate comments or people trying to talk shit?
There's one video out there.
I've got...
There's actually a couple videos out there.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about that.
It's more of, like, people that don't understand what's going on in the video or taking something way too serious when it's just us having fun and trying to enjoy it and putting it out there for somebody else to enjoy it.
Now, are you talking about possibly non-outdoorsmen? Is what you mean?
Yes, probably.
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think a lot of the misunderstanding from what we're doing is from kind of that people that maybe just fish in a pond or something.
Yeah.
Or just, they don't have as much knowledge on fishing, like
as
we
do. As you
do
or experiences like y'all do. Mm-hmm. Yeah, correct.
But the one way I look at it is if you don't have hate comments, man, you're not successful. You're not doing it.
That's a good point.
You're not getting views. Because, you're going to have them.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter what you're in. It doesn't matter what type of videos you put out. I mean, you're always going to have them.
You can't make everybody happy.
No.
And that old saying comes into play, no publicity is bad publicity.
Yeah.
Whether or not it's good or bad, you're still getting people watching the content. You're getting people talking about the outdoors and whatever you're interested in. Because people are coming to your channel, A, because they have an interest in what you're doing probably, or they're interested in the conversation that's going on about what you're doing.
And that's what's crazy, and I think that's what a lot of people that come on and talk all that, is they don't understand that all they're doing to us, they're not hurting our feelings, they're helping us.
They are.
Because every comment is one more push for YouTube, TikTok, Instagram to notice that, people are talking about this. They don't care what about it, and it's going to push it. It's going to push it even
That's
more.
That's right. They want to join the party.
We have noticed that. We've had a couple of videos recently that have hit 100,000. We had a video, 2 or 3 videos that...
Over a million. Views, so... Yeah.
But in a lot of it is, it'll die down for a little bit, and then a couple people come in,
pick back up.
And the algorithm jumps off again.
And you'll see that in... Look at,
and that's what that's what's funny.
Analytics.
You ask about hate comments on any type of social media, just kill them with kindness. That's what I do every time.
Oh, it's
They could dog you in the comments and call you a piece of shit, and you're like, hey, man, thanks for commenting.
Yeah.
I appreciate
thanks for that. Hope you have a good day.
I do the same thing.
It's great.
I'll put an emoji smiling back at him. Thanks for the comment.
Yeah, exactly.
It's crazy because a lot of people... I think that's what drives a lot of people out of social media and content creation is they get into it and they love it so much, and then you have some jackwagon to come along and just bash you from end to end.
Yep.
And they get scared of that, and they don't like that, and they get disappointed in it, and they just quit.
Yeah.
But you just got to look at it as, it's not affecting me in any way possible.
Yeah.
And you're just like, hey, thanks, man. Hope you have a great day.
That's
and
right.
It brings me joy being able to take those hate comments and just give them some kind of kindness. And
you
it's
can't
just
take
hilarious.
It personal.
No,
I mean,
no.
If you got, like, and you made a good point there, Grant, because a lot of people, I think, that get into it, we talked about that passion when you're creating that video or you're creating that podcast or whatever it is, you know, and they put so much time and effort into it that when they see those hate comments coming from somebody, it really destroys them, some people, you know? And that's the ones that I find don't hang around, like you said, you know? That's a great point you made. You got to have kind of a roll-off-your-back type attitude. If you're going to be in this market, you know, and this type of space, you definitely have to be able to roll with the punches, look at things from a lighter side, and just go with the flow on it.
I mean, they can talk all the shit they want. As long as you enjoy doing it,
that's fine.
It.
Yeah, you just
what's
worry
the matter?
About it.
That's it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, to every one hate comment you get five good ones.
Oh, hell yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, there's way more good out there than bad.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, and if you're making good content, you're going to see that definitely.
Yes.
You know, you're going to see the difference there.
Absolutely.
You know, whenever I first started, I'd have people comment, they say, man, you know, this guy thinks he's a fucking expert on duck hunting, you know, blah, 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 this and that. And really, you know, I had a guy ask me on a podcast I did recently, he said, how did you start and, you know, get into it? Why did you start doing it? And with me, it was my son. It was my two boys, actually. And I said, like I kind of mentioned this to y'all a while ago, I said, I want to be able to have something to document their growth coming up in the outdoors. I want to document also as a scouting tool for hunting, for us it was. Because, hey, I could go back and look in 2017 and see what kind of year we had waterfowl hunting in Louisiana.
Yeah.
And then I could go back, you know, a year or two later and say, okay, well, we had low water conditions in this video.
Yep.
Now it's completely different. We actually use it as a scouting tool.
It definitely works, absolutely.
And it's documented right there for everybody to see, but also us as well.
It's great. I mean, that's kind of what we feel the same way about our videos.
Yeah.
You know, like, so what if we fail?
Yeah.
We got great videos to look back on 20 years from now.
Exactly.
There'll be 60 sitting on the couch watching our old YouTube videos.
That's it.
It doesn't matter if we go anywhere with them or not. We can never break 500 subscribers on anything. I can have two.
Yeah,
but if I'm having fun and making those memories and being able to go back, like show my kids, oh, look what we did when we were your age.
That's exactly right.
It's a fun thing to do.
That's exactly. I really look forward to, like, I'm 44 now, so I'm middle aged now, you know. And I look back. I've been doing this since I was 8 years old. My dad probably dragging me through the woods and into the marshes and, you know, all that type of stuff. My goal, I want to be 60 doing it. I want to look at myself when I'm 60 and be able to go pull up YouTube and see these videos.
Absolutely.
And listen to these podcasts. And you know, some of these people that I've had on the podcast, they're older. My dad joined me on a podcast.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? They're not always going to be around.
Exactly.
You know, later down the road, well, I'll be able to go back and that's my, out of all my podcasts I've ever done, that's my favorite podcast.
Yeah,
the one I did with my dad.
Of course.
And he told some pretty fucking funny stories because they did some outlawing shit.
Oh, what, back in the day?
Oh, my God. I mean, it was just a different time, you know? And I literally listened to it to warm up for us getting together this week. I call it a warm up exercise.
Yeah.
I listen, I go back, I critique my own stuff, and just to kind of enjoy that episode because it brings me back to where I came from.
Oh, absolutely.
You know? And that's, I mean, that's a big part of it for me. But, you know, and that touches on another point I want to ask you guys. Like, when, you know, y'all were talking about getting into a podcast, possibly. That's something we're going to kind of hint at for everybody listening out there. You guys, not to put you on the spot, but y'all may be starting up a podcast of your own. But with video content, do you guys go back and once your videos are finished and everything's done, it's out there for the public to see, how often do you go back and watch your own content?
Often.
Yeah.
Like you
Why?
Said,
Why
so like
you
said, right? So you said like a warm up exercise.
Yeah.
So it's kind of the same. Like you warm up for your podcast. Well, it's kind of the same thing when we look back on our videos. It's like, what can we do on the next one? To, like, you know, we'll notice one little
minimal improvement.
Yeah.
Exactly.
How can we improve?
As
one
long
thing?
As you improve on one thing
one
each
thing.
Video or each, you know, you do a different transition a little bit better. You bring in the music up and you know, fade it out a little bit better. You do some slow-mo. I mean, you can look back at our first video we ever posted. to now, yeah. And I think it's a complete world of difference between,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, the slow-mo, the transition.
I think we all are in that. Yes. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. We all in the same boat when it comes to that. You know, you see the transition, and when you want it as bad as y'all want it, like you mentioned, you see that improvement over time. And you look back and you say, well, some of the first ones wasn't as good. Yeah. You know?
But some of the best ones.
They are, because you're an amateur, you know?
Yeah.
And really, we all amateurs. That's what's great about YouTube, you know?
Yep.
So, but yeah, I agree 100% with what y'all saying. But the reason I ask you that is my wife always picks on me. She says, you listen to your own podcast. You go back and you watch your own damn videos.
Oh, uh-huh.
She's like, that's so stupid.
I'm my own biggest fan, I swear.
Me too. And I'm with you, Grant, on that.
You're your own biggest critic, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes,
correct. You're going to criticize yourself more than you will anyone else.
That's right. Mm-hmm. It goes both ways.
That's why I like, you know, the relationship me and Taylor have, we've known each other for...
years.
10, 15 years.
Yeah. Well, let's get into that a little bit. So let's take it back. Go ahead. I don't want to cut you.
Oh, no, you're good.
Make your point there. Let's kind of talk about it. Obviously, you guys are, I'd say, best friends probably, right?
Yeah.
As long as I've known y'all been extremely tight.
Yeah.
You know, and that's how we'll talk about that a little bit later on, how I got to know y'all. We all worked together at one point. But how you love for the outdoors. Mm-hmm. Let's kind of take it back to the beginning as children. Was it as a child, what got you interested in outdoors? Was it a family member that got y'all interested?
The way that I like to explain it, and I tell this story to everyone, I didn't have a choice. And not saying that in a bad way. My grandpa, once he quit working in the plants, he ran trot lines, caught catfish.
Okay.
That's what he did. He bought a camp on the Chicopee Canal.
Grew up here in Louisiana.
Yeah, from Louisiana. Yeah. And he bought a camp on the Chicopee Canal, and he started running trot lines. He did that till the day he died.
Wow.
And, you know, me growing up, that was it. He'd come pick me up from school. We'd go to the camp. I'd ride with him. We'd run the trot lines, come back. He'd clean every catfish, whether it was two catfish or 200.
Really?
So, and not only that, but Pawpaw had six sons and two daughters. My mom and my aunt. And
had
I
had a lot of mouths to feed.
And every one of them fished and hunted.
Really?
Yep, all of them.
They all had a passion for
it. My mom loved it. The only one that really didn't was my Aunt Beth.
Really?
But even my mom, she'd go fishing all the time.
So they actually enjoyed it, or was it kind of have to go?
Oh, no. Papa was the one that worked.
Yeah.
But everyone else used the camp as the camp.
Really?
We had our own little boat launch, now homemade.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's how I grew up. I'm talking about from shitting in diapers. You know, there's pictures of me on the camp pier fishing with an old school bamboo rod that my papa made.
Old school.
You know?
You were just around.
Yeah. And that's just how, I mean, that's why I say it's not a bad thing. I didn't have a choice. It's just that's all I knew.
Yeah.
Because everyone did it.
Yeah. That's so how I was, too.
If I fell right into it and then I got obsessed.
Really? Yeah.
Overly obsessed.
Yeah.
What about you, Grant? How'd you get, what's your first experiences?
Pretty much the same way. I've been fishing since, like he said, like it's been fishing since I was in diapers. Mm-hmm. My papa always had a boat. My dad's always fished. All of my family is from Houma, Ontario, down the bayou. Everybody's been shrimpers and... You know, we got alligator hunters in the family.
You don't have the accent, though.
Let me go down there for a day or two.
It changes.
And I will come back, and you'll be like, what did you say?
Yeah.
I can't understand you.
Yeah.
If I'm around everybody down there, and they got that accent.
You pick up on the dialect.
Oh, it'll just click for some reason.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we've fished down in, like, Ontario, Lake DeCad, People's Canal, all those,
mm-hmm.
all the time. Papa had a boat. We used to go to Grand Isle for weekends or weeks at a time in the summer. And, I mean, this is what we did. I was never big on the hunting side of things when I was younger.
Yeah.
I got into that later on, but, like, fishing was diehard, and I think that's why I'm so obsessed with it, because that's all we did.
That's it.
Yeah. You know, we either went on vacation to the beach and I brought a fishing pole,
yeah.
or we went down to Grand Isle for the summer and I was fishing. We went to Tennessee or Missouri. Every trip that I've been on, I'm bringing a fishing pole. I'm going to go fishing. I mean, that's just how we were raised.
Yeah,
I mean,
so it sounds like with both of y'all, family. It was family that got you involved.
100%.
It's kind of how you were raised. How important is that for a kid, especially in today's modern world right now that we live in? Okay, so let's be honest. Gaming. Gaming's the big thing for kids, you know?
Mm-hmm.
My 9-year-old, man, he, you know, he'd rather sometimes stay home than come out, come fishing, come hunting with us, you know?
Oh, yeah.
That's just what he knows.
And
know?
See,
that's what he was, that's just, so how important is that now?
Man, I wish it'd be the same. I mean, I think, you know, now, and I'm 29, and, you know, even looking at the kids, like your son's age nowadays, you know, they're so obsessed with technology and everything else.
Yeah.
But, you know, to have a father like you, right? Well, you can expose them more than someone else would.
And that's why I think it's super important to have an adult that, you know, did it. Because if the adult, the parent wasn't exposed to it, then how do you expect them to get exposed to
because
it?
Because nowadays no one does it.
That's it.
I mean, we grew up high school, we exposed people that didn't fish or didn't hunt.
Yeah.
You know, hey, dude, you like to fish? Well, no, I've never been. Well, come on.
Yeah.
I've been in perch jerking or something see that. Like that, and we're like, well, come get on the boat. I mean, I've had a bass boat since I was 16.
Yeah.
But, you know, my dad bought a boat and then got a driver's license, and he was like, all right, I don't have to take you no more. Go ahead.
Yeah.
And they'd be, hey, man, what you doing this weekend? Oh, well, I'm busy. I'm like, all right, next person. Hey, man, what you doing this weekend? Oh, I've never been, you know, bass fishing like that. I'm like, come on, get on the boat. We're gonna go.
Yeah, and I'm going to be honest with you. That's one thing that really impresses me with y'all, too. And that's a compliment from the bottom of my heart, I'm going to be honest with you. Because as long as I've known y'all, y'all have always been very inclusive of other people coming with you on trips.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's a fishing trip, a hunting trip, y'all like to have a crowd with you. Or I don't, let me not say a crowd, but you have friends with you. You open the people coming with you.
It makes it so much more fun. It does.
And the reason I'm so impressed with that is because society is not like that a ton with outdoorsmen nowadays.
Yeah.
A lot of people hold it close to the vest, you know, with that. What's y'all thoughts kind of on that? I mean, obviously, y'all have a different road that you take on that, different path. You kind of like a crowd. You like people with you. But when you see other outdoorsmen that are real close to the vest, like with, you know, maybe lying to somebody about what they're doing or where they at or where they're going, what's your thoughts on that, just in general?
I can't stand people that are like that. Because to me, you know, I tell people, you know, people know I fish all the time or I hunt all the time. What'd you kill this weekend? What'd you catch this weekend? Nothing. You know, I zeroed out.
Yeah.
Well, you know, people always, I guess people that don't understand it, to me it's like, I had a blast.
Yeah.
I was with my friends. You know, we just made another memory.
Correct.
You know, so I think the people that are so hush-hush and they don't want to hunt with people, they don't want to show, I don't care. Like, if you want to go hunting, fishing, I'll take you wherever you want.
Yeah.
It's about the memories for me. And whether you're catching a fish or shooting a duck, I think a lot of it just, I mean, you've been in the blind with five or six people hunting. Yeah. How much fun do you have with those people?
It's always more fun.
No matter how many ducks you kill, no matter how many fish you catch.
I love fishing to death, but fishing alone, you know, it's nice. You get to fish, you know, you're just out there enjoying it by yourself. But just having somebody, I mean, there's been times that just me and him go in the marsh and we're struggling and we're like, man, if a game warden or somebody was around the corner, they wouldn't understand what's going on because we're hooping and hollering and cutting up.
Keeping it fun.
We're not catching fish. Yeah. We're just sitting there bullshit.
Trash talking.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes,
I see that in some of the videos. Y'all trash talking each other. And
I mean, it's all good.
That's
fun.
Yeah, it's all fun.
I don't see. It goes back to your point. I don't see how people don't do that.
Yeah. And the way I look at it is, you have a passion for something. You have all of this knowledge that you've gained over the years or months or whatever, however long you've been doing it, why not share that and let somebody else maybe grow that same passion or get somebody into it? Or, oh man, you know, I always go fishing, but I don't catch much. Why not, you know, allow them to learn something from you and step them up?
Yeah.
And, I mean, it doesn't make sense for people to, they're so hush-hush and, oh, I quit, caught her on this. And
It is. And I think, you know, I think fishing and the hunting side, there is some differences there. Yeah, I would say that probably because it seems like people are a little bit more lenient on the fishing side.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
With sharing information, giving spots, you know, or taking somebody with
them. No, I agree.
But then you turn to hunt season and it's, well, okay, now we're assuming public land. Okay, talking public land.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah,
because we're all three public land hunters. You know, we don't have leases right now, nothing, none of that type of stuff. So with a lease, you don't have to worry about that. You get into a lease, you pay for your lease,
then you're good.
Ain't nobody gonna touch
you. You tell everybody where you're hunting.
That's right. Yeah. You can tell them where you're at. You know, no problem. But when we talk in public land on the hunting side of things, it gets a little tougher out here. Wouldn't y'all agree with that?
You have to grind more for public land to get on the X and be in the right spot at the right time, you have to grind a lot harder.
But also, I think that has a lot to do with why people are so hush-hush.
Well, that's what my point I'm trying to get to.
Yeah.
Is it because it's so tough nowadays to find that spot? You know what aggravates me? Look, it aggravates everybody. It pisses you off. You get a lot of internet scouts.
Yeah.
You know, people that are, hitting people up. Where'd you kill them at already? Trust me, the more y'all going to start doing more hunting videos and you have successful hunting videos, you're going to have people trying to hit you up with messages, DMs, all that type of stuff, trying to figure out where you are. And they don't want to come out and ask you, but you know what they're getting.
You know, they're hitting around the question.
So you do see that. And what does piss me off is I kind of research them back whenever they hit me up, you know, and see kind of what they do.
Yeah.
And if it's somebody that I see that's not scouting before the season or, you know, they just trying to look for information, quick information, so they can go run and take a spot, then I'm not going to share a ton of information with somebody like that, you know? Because we put in hours of work. Scouting and work. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
You know, so I can understand that side of it. But, you know, that whole mentality of, oh, it's public land, and I can't take nobody here because they got... Man, honestly, is there really any secret spots?
Not really.
No, it's all public.
No. If we think it's...
I can walk up to the same spot you walk up to at any point in time.
That's exactly right. And my point there is that what we think may not be hit real hard by somebody else, there's somebody else. They're hitting it just as hard as we are.
Well, it goes back to what you said earlier. You know, we grew up in the age of social media.
Yeah.
You can't hide public land spots.
Not if you're putting it on social media.
Because guess what? Somebody else that hunted there is telling everybody on social media where that spot is.
Oh, they know. They know the fucking cypress tree. Yeah, they you're standing on
a tree could move this way, and they're like, I know exactly where that tree is.
And like I said, they'll bullshit you, and they'll say, "Oh, no, that tree, man, you in Delacroix, you in Chippewa Basin," and they kind of fish it. They don't really fucking know, but they just want to
comment,
and they want you to kind of comment on it. You know,
like, "Oh, no, it's not."
I call that some internet snipers. They kind of trying to snipe some spots there, you know, without doing the work themselves. But yeah, I mean, it does happen. So I could see on the hunting side where it's a little bit more stingy.
It is.
Information, you know. Yes. But at the same time, like what I try to do is every year take somebody who hasn't been exposed to waterfowl hunting.
Yeah.
Or like I squirrel hunt. I love squirrel hunting. That's a big part of my heritage growing up. I'll take like a kid or somebody that hasn't had the opportunity to go. We'll take them squirrel hunting with us, rabbit hunting with us, do some of that stuff. And you know, it's just to get them acclimated with the outdoors. And there's not one that I have taken yet that has told me, hey, I don't want to go back. I didn't have a good experience.
Yeah.
That's what's funny. Technically speaking, I really got him head over heels for duck hunting.
Really?
Yeah. Because yeah, I've loved duck hunting since, I don't know, 14, 15 when I first got to go. And I fell in love with it. It's just something about it. It's kind of related to fishing. You don't have to be as quiet, you know, in the duck blind as a deer. And, you know, he grew up deer hunting and squirrel hunting and rabbit. But I was like, man, let's go duck hunting. Come duck hunting with me. And he was like, all right, man, yeah, I've always wanted to try it. And then we went out the first time.
You hooked.
And he went through two boxes of shells for, like, two wood ducks.
Yep.
And after that, it was...
Oh, it's on. Now my wallet hurts.
Yeah, you better be ready. But for the wallet part of it, is it the best hunting that's out there, in y'all opinion?
In my opinion, yeah.
The best type of, or at least for me. For Louisiana.
Wing shooting.
In Louisiana.
I would say wing shooting. Like,
wing shooting, that's your favorite?
Including like doves. Like dove hunting to me is a blast.
Yeah, man, I wish I had those spots to go to nowadays. Growing up, I grew up in the rice fields and stuff like that. We had a lot of, you know, stuff that we could dove hunt. But around here, I don't have access to that, but I love it. I just love wing shooting.
Yeah.
You know?
Wing shooting in general.
And man, you wrap that thing in bacon and put it on a pit, and it don't get much
better. Dude, put it in a gumbo even. Gumbo. Oh, my goodness.
That's a huge part, you know, of it. But, yeah, I mean, all of that is just extremely fun. But I don't know what it is about waterfowl hunting, but for me, ever since I've been, like I mentioned a while ago, about 8 years old with my dad going, I just never could shake it, man. I don't deer hunt.
Since the first trip.
I just don't do that stuff.
Nope.
And people look at me and they say, man, you got to be out your fucking mind as a waterfowl hunter. You know, what the hell you guys are, especially a public land waterfowl hunter.
Yeah.
We're waking up at freaking 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, 1:30 sometimes, 1 o'clock.
I don't know if y'all are like this, but when I was coming up through college and stuff, I was sleeping in my fucking truck. I was literally sleeping at the entrances of WMA.
Yeah, I mean, half the time when we go duck hunting during the season, we don't sleep.
Yeah,
we'll split the afternoon. We'll go home, grab our stuff. It's 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock in the morning. All right, we're beating back up.
Yeah, screw it, let's go.
Gas station, and then we roll.
Man, it's the life of a fucking waterfowl hunter. That's what it is.
You know? I don't know what it is. Like you said, it's just you get once you get it, you're like,
and people
that's
think
what
you're
I
crazy
do.
For that.
Well, we gotta be fucking crazy, man. We gotta be fucking crazy.
I mean, something in the brain don't work right.
Dude, I'm 44 years old. 2 years ago, Jackson looks at me. He's like, "Dad, we never got to hunt this specific hole, you know, that I've been wanting to hunt since I've been born." He's like, "Man, I think if we go tonight, this is at 6:30 in the evening the night before." He's like, if we go tonight, stay at the camp." He's like, "You think we could get the hole?" I said, "Probably not." I said, "But if we go sleep at the entrance where we're supposed to be, we could probably get the hole." So he looks at me, and I look at him. I said, "Your dad is too old for this shit." And I looked at him. I said, well, I didn't tell him, "Look, fuck it, let's go." But yeah. I said, "But let's go anyway." And we did. I drove my 42-year-old ass, got in line at the WMA, and me and him slept in the truck all night long just so we could get that hole. And the irony of that is we shot two fucking ducks the next morning.
Oh, God.
Two goddamn ducks.
All that work for two ducks, but hey.
But you know what? We
enjoyable.
Made a memory together.
Absolutely.
He got to experience something that we did when I was y'all age doing it, you know. And we did it all the time then. So he got to feel like he was a part of it. Now, guess what? He never asked me again to do it after that.
Guess
he was
what?
So tired.
He won't forget of it.
He won't forget. Yeah. He talks about it, but he was too tired. But look, he's a freshman at Santa Monica this year, coming up in high school.
Really?
He's going to have plenty of time to do it. You know, he's going to
do it.
And he's that type. He's like, y'all remind me a lot of him. He's just ate up with it, and that's all he wants to do. He wants to hunt. He wants to fish.
I mean, if he's going to Santa Monica, he'll find some people that are.
Well, he will. He just made the Santa Monica fishing team. They're going to be fishing high school here.
That's good.
A few weeks ago, they got a tournament. So, pretty awesome deal. But yeah, it's just something about waterfowl, man. I don't know what it is about me not wanting to get into deer. It's like I don't want to give up a day of waterfowl. Yeah. And I'm still that way.
There's too much that goes into deer hunting, man. You got to wash your clothes and the right stuff.
Yep.
You got to be quiet. Sitting. You don't have can't step this way. You can't look this way. I'm in a duck blind. I get up in the morning. I throw on my jacket. I throw
on
my waders. And I walk into the blind or walk into the woods. And I sit on a bank. I don't have to do nothing else.
Yeah,
got to throw some decoys out and quack on a call.
Yeah. That's it.
It's not as... You know,
I think people overcomplicate it when they think about it.
Oh, absolutely.
They think about duck hunting.
That's a good point.
Mean?
Well, and that's a good point. Let's touch on that because you did mention a while ago money wise, you know. Mm-hmm. And I get what you're saying, but do you have to have a ton of money? People think that, man, I got to have a shit ton of money to get into waterfowl hunting.
Mm-mm.
Okay. I've
had the same shotgun for probably going on 10, 12 years now. And that's all I use. Mossberg 500, 12 gauge.
And how much was it brand new?
And it was like $350 brand new.
Yeah.
And that is probably the cheapest shotgun you can find that's not used.
And I held that thing a minute ago. It's smooth as butter. Yeah. Oh, I mean, as old as it is,
you know how many times I've ever washed it?
Probably none.
Nope.
Still kicking.
Great thing about a pump shotgun.
Yeah. I've ran a snake through it and shot some rim oil on it, and
that is
as far as I go.
Yep.
That's like me. Yeah. I mean... You know, I say it hurts my wallet, but really a lot of that choice is mine.
It's an addition.
Yeah, I mean, you just want to buy. You want
to
buy good stuff. The same way with fishing too. I like to have the expensive reels.
Correct.
Yeah.
I don't have to have a banded jacket. I don't have to.
No.
You could have a Walmart jacket, Walmart pants, a pair of just black boots.
Yeah.
And some old Flambeau duck decoys that you got at a garage sale for $2.
That's right.
And you can go
kill ducks
just as much as.
Absolutely.
Anyone out there.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Yep.
I think that's a big thing, too. Like, if you really did want to get into waterfowl hunting and you got a budget, nobody thinks about it. Get on Walmart's website about midway through duck season.
Yeah. When they clearance and everything out.
New decoys are $20 off a box.
Yep.
And duck calls are half off almost all the time.
Yeah. And look, it don't matter what type they are. If it gets you out there in the field. We hit Walmart at the end of the season last year by the camp over there in Breaux Bridge, Louisiana. They were selling like a half dozen decoys for $8 a half.
I remember that.
And we posted
it. Yeah.
Everybody did. I saw it yours. I saw it on TikTok.
Yeah.
People
posting
buying truckloads.
We bought a shit ton of decoys. We stuck them in the shed. Now I can't walk in my shed at home. But I mean, I got decoys for freaking until I'm 60-something years old.
Yeah.
I talked about wanting to hunt till, you know?
You need 12 dozen? I got you.
Yeah. In the shed.
Yeah. I could sell them to y'all for double what I paid for them. Y'all could still buy
still
them.
Still have a good deal.
Yeah, hell yeah.
No, you talked about, you know, earlier you coming from a different generation than us. I mean, how many of the old cats were just spray painting milk jugs and tying weights on them?
True story. When I first started coming up, my family had some land, some private land that we owned. And there was no duck decoys. We didn't have duck, like, well, go to the store, buy duck decoys. It was milk jugs and 2-liter Coke bottles at that time when 2 liters came out. And as a kid, my grandfather and my uncle would make me go out and spray paint them black, solid black.
Yep.
Spray. They'd go to Walmart, get a can of spray paint, and we would hunt over those decoys and kill ducks all the years I came up as a kid.
Yeah.
Later on in life, when I got into like high school, we had a camp up at Dewey Wills, which is up around central part of Louisiana.
Yeah.
And when I first started going there and I was kind of checking out, I always heard it was good for duck hunting. So we went to Dewey Wills. I remember starting to ride, and the way Dewey Wills was set up at that time was, it's on Saline Lake is what it is, okay? Well, half of the lake was private, and then the borderline was running right down the middle for the WMA of the lake. So left side of the lake was going to be all WMA. Well, the guys on the private side had permanent blinds. If you have a hunted Catahoula before, Dewey Wills is exactly the same.
Yep.
Okay? It's the exact same setup. They only within a bird flies is only about a couple of miles from each other.
Yeah.
But if you would see the setup, and I haven't been there because our camp, we've lost it now for several years, but I bet you if you go there today, you will see a duck blind on the private side, and it will have hundreds of 2-liter Coke jugs all around, floating around the blind, painted black.
Catahoula is the same way.
Yeah.
They do. They leave them.
Yep, they leave them.
They're not going to leave nice decoys. No. They may have nice decoys.
They'll have
hundreds of just 2-liter bottles painted black.
Yep.
And they're all left out there.
All
season.
Left out there, and those birds will work those fucking decoys just like the most expensive decoys.
And that's what I'm saying. You don't have to spend any money. I mean, really, you know, it goes back to the Walmart thing, dude. You can go get, I think they still sell, I mean, at least in our Walmarts here, but I can't remember what brand. Is it Remington or?
As far as what?
Shotguns go.
Yeah, well, it depends. You can go, like, Walmart's big liberal now as far as that whole thing goes.
Yeah, and that's why I said Walmart's here.
But certain Walmarts, I think the Walmarts in the South,
for the most part.
We still carrying, most of them got guns. But yeah, you'll see Remington, you know, and they got a lot of Turkish brands now that have imported guns that have come into the market.
TriStars.
You know, you used to buy, if you wanted a good shotgun, you had to go buy a Remington, Winchester, Browning, Benelli when they came on. You know, and that was kind of it. If a Turkish shotgun was put out there, it was a piece of shit, I told you, you know?
Yeah.
And they still got guys who believe that. But I've purchased some Turkish shotguns. I've shot some Turkish shotguns. And you see places like Walmart Academy. Mm-hmm. Academy's a good example.
ATA
Arms, their ATA brand. Mm-hmm. You know, some other ones. Mm-hmm. But you could get some good quality equipment now at an affordable price.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
And, I mean, you don't have to go crazy. You could go walk into your nearest WMA and pop a couple wood ducks with no decoys.
Just
fly by.
Yeah.
If you want to get a taste of it and get out there and just enjoy it, you can do that.
And that's a good point. You guys, I mean, I know you have a boat now, but like when y'all were hitting me up over the last couple of years, we would talk about waterfowl hunting. I think y'all barred like the pirogue at the camp a couple of times, that type of stuff. Like y'all did a lot of walking hunting. You know, a lot of foot on the ground walking.
Miles and miles.
But I mean, what's some of the success stories that y'all had by doing that? Did y'all have, can you go as a beginning waterfowl hunter in Louisiana on public land, can you go and kill ducks walking in the spots?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
I killed, absolutely. My favorite duck is a widgeon, and I killed the most beautiful widgeon I've ever seen in person walking in.
Walking in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, a lot of people don't want to put that effort in. So some of those spots may be untouched.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a few mornings in Sherburn. I mean, you're familiar with Sherburn.
Yeah.
Walking into spots there.
Yeah.
There's no one else there.
Yeah.
It's just me and him and maybe a couple of buddies sitting on the bank of a pond with a couple dozen decoys hunting.
Yeah.
And not a person around us.
Yeah.
Now, it's public land. There's some days you get out there and there's five hunters on this pond or whatever ditch we're hunting. But no, I think there's definitely, and Louisiana especially, and I'm sure it's like this elsewhere, but, I mean, how many WMAs do we have? Not only that, there's National Wildlife Refuges. I don't think a lot of people really think about them.
Yeah.
There's a lot of spots you can access on wildlife
refuges, they're not advertised as much as the WMAs, but, yeah, you're right.
There's a lot of land you can hunt.
It's the one I'm thinking that's coming to mind up there around St. Francisville.
Ooh.
Tunica Hills,
Cat Island.
That's what I'm trying to think of. Cat Island.
Yeah.
You know, we talk waterfowl hunting.
Well, that just recently opened up in the past couple of years.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it all depends on the river stages over there.
Yeah.
And if the river's right, there could be some really good hunting. But that's a national refuge, type deal situation. So yeah, that's a good point. It's not only your wildlife management areas, but your national refuges that a lot of people could go into and have access.
Yep.
You know, I have a lot of people hit me up and they say, man, it seems like in Louisiana you got to have a boat to go waterfowl hunting, you know?
Yeah.
No, that's not the case, man. No. You guys can attest to that, you know, because y'all have had some pretty successful hunts, it looked like, walking into a lot of spots, you know?
And you can. I mean, if you want, if you're willing to walk a little ways.
Yeah.
And it's not, you know, 9 times out of 10, if it's not a super rainy season, it's not a hard walk.
No, it's not hard.
Like this year, we extremely dry.
Super dry,
So it's going to be interesting this coming season.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
See, hopefully, you know, for the walk-in hunters, it may be a little bit more traffic this year because guys with boats ain't going to be able to take a boat.
Ain't going to be able to get back.
You have to walk in.
You're going to have to walk into it. So it's going to be interesting, man. I mean, you know, like, as dry as it's been, it's gonna really change some things up this season. So and predictions and all that's kind of fun, you know. You get into that, and I used to do a little bit more dabbling into that when I did content and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, I'm gonna go whether the forecast says it's gonna suck or I'm not, you know. So I just soon go and put in my time.
Why not?
I mean, there's been plenty of times where we walk into Sherburne, walk 2 or 3 miles in the woods, and we'll sit for hours and just look at the trees and watch some birds fly by.
Yeah,
they're all flying miles
high,
away.
Yeah.
You know, one of us is taking a nap on a tree.
This one.
I'll knock out.
No, it's great, man. I mean, you know, you're always. I find it hard to believe that you can't have any days that you're just not going to shoot birds. You know.
Yeah.
So you just can't look at it with a bad attitude.
No.
You know, go hunt and enjoy it.
Learn something.
And if you don't shoot anything, learn. Yeah, you got to learn a lesson from it, right?
All right, I didn't do something right. Decoys were flaring.
Let's try something different.
Mojo was out and it shouldn't have been.
Yeah.
You know, I need more water, different, you know, trees around, different openings.
That's when you start, yeah, you really start to.
You get to dive into it.
Yeah.
What did I do wrong?
Start
drilling down
on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I mean, let's be honest, on public land nowadays, if we were making a living like the old market hunters, we'd all be probably broke, you know.
Yeah.
If you're going to have more bad days than you are good.
Oh,
yeah.
But like you said, it's a lot about the memories, the experiences, the conversations, all that type of stuff. You know, just little things that come with that time of year. One of our favorite traditions is Little Debbie Christmas tree cakes. Hey, I'm a fat boy, man.
Oh, yeah.
When it comes to hunt season.
Honey buns. Honey buns.
Well, I was going to ask you, what's your favorite blind food?
Got to be honey buns.
Honey buns?
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
What?
Go
iced,
ahead.
Regular, it doesn't matter.
We talking about Debbie honey buns. We talking
any of them.
Just iced honey buns.
Just honey
regular
buns
honey buns.
Yes, man.
And I like the donut sticks.
There's donut with some coffee and
in a thermos or a Yeti
what?
Cup or something.
You talking about
Red Bull?
Yeah. I like that, man.
I don't even drink.
Oh man, we'll get on them Red Bulls, bro, for duck season and.
Well, yeah, if you're running like y'all do and getting in,
well,
y'all
it's
still young guys, so y'all still party a little bit, go to the bars. And a lot of people don't know this. It's about to get tougher, let me tell you.
I may be 27, but man, that next day or that afternoon when you get back from doing all that, you're like,
dead.
All right, have a good day.
Yeah,
I'll see y'all.
You're out straight to sleep.
Yeah, you got to wake up at 6 that evening and go back in line and go hunt again the next morning sometimes.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it gets a lot tougher. Trust me, it does. But I had to get into the habit as I got older, man. I had to be in bed. I knew 8 o'clock. I had to be in bed at 8 o'clock. Because if I didn't, the next day I couldn't function. And then you got, you know, as y'all get older, you're going to have kids come into play, wives, you know, all that type of stuff. Man,
it's really
busy.
Look,
I'll be honest with you. When I started going to bed early, because, you know, when you get married and you have kids, wives, it's not exactly their favorite time of the year, but you're going every day for hunting.
Well, yeah,
you know,
of course.
Hunting season. But when I started going to bed at a good time and I could go hunting, come back and stay awake and function, happy wife, happy life.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Made a big difference.
Yeah, absolutely.
Made a huge difference at that point. So, you know, it kept mama happy. It kept us happy in turn, you know.
As your sons get older, she's probably loving that too because you're taking them.
She does.
She can have a nice relaxing day.
She does. She could go do her nails.
Uh-huh.
She could go do something.
Yep.
Have a girl's day out and she's like, hey, take them.
Take them hunting.
And that's what's awesome for me. I got 2 boys. So, you know, when we had our first one, you know, it was a boy. Okay, great. The second one, she's like, kind of like a girl. Now she's as they older and she gets to see the freedom when that comes, she's like, glad I had boys.
Yeah, go with your daddy. Right, I'm going to have a day.
Yeah, exactly. And she grew up in outdoors. So, you know, my father and them were big outdoorsmen as well. So I think also coming from a family that of outdoorsmen, the women could understand a lot better you go through, kind of what
growing
to
up around it.
Yeah, they're not, you know, it's not a super jealous type deal where, hey, you're not spending time with me, you know, none of that type of shit. They kind of know what to expect. They've been through it as a child, you know. So, boy, if you could find you a girl who's coming from an outdoor family, that's a plus. I'm going to be honest with you. That is definitely a plus. So, Honey Bun's favorite blonde food, right?
Yeah. Absolutely.
What's our favorite way to cook waterfowl? Because y'all like to cook.
Oh,
these
man,
boys
I love
can
cook.
For everybody listening, I walked in, they offered me freaking food when I came in the door today. So that they could cook. They are good cooks.
I like to eat.
Is favorite wild game duck? Deer? What y'all like?
Ooh,
what's
the rabbits.
Tough. Rabbit. Yeah. Hey, oh, rabbit. So we call that La Pan, where I come from in South Louisiana, La Pan. And that is good.
That's some of the best.
Rabbit is good.
Yeah. But no, ducks is hard for me because when I killed teal, we started doing tacos. Almost like a fajita style, more than a taco.
Yeah, that's more popular now.
Like, we'll take the duck breast and we'll just breast them and then sear.
Strip it.
You know, medium rare.
Yeah.
And then strip it out on a taco with whatever you want. Cilantro, onions, cheese. Oh, God.
I've never done that.
You know, but
I
like
do that.
Your bigger ducks, man, just cook it like a steak and feed it to me.
Yeah. You pan sear.
Nothing crazy.
Oh, yeah. Great. Yeah,
little butter, little garlic. Yeah. On the plate, eat it just like you would a ribeye.
This year I breasted some and I did them on a smoker. All the breasts, like the bigger ducks especially, on a smoker. You're talking about awesome.
What?
I made like an orange glaze with it. You know?
Yeah.
So you could dip it. I put that out at Christmas time. Every piece was gone in 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, they wiped it out. And then I took a bunch this year and I did something I've never done before. Just like we make deer sausage.
Yeah.
I made duck breast sausage this year.
Yeah.
And it's freaking good.
I've had some. I can't remember who I got it from, but yeah, it is delicious.
You got to mix it with pork because duck's dry. Yep. You know, so you gotta have a good, that pork in it to mix it. But like in a gumbo, you do a duck gumbo, it's really good in that.
Gravy too.
Gravy. We'll smoke. I'll put it on the pit and do it and the kids eat it like a po' boy. I mean, it's good.
We've done some experience. Like, have you ever had pool dew jerky?
No.
Pool dew jerky.
I did duck jerky a few years ago, and it was fucking horrible.
pool dew jerky, don't ever try it. It
really?
Tastes like...
Is it like rubber? It's just tough?
Just shit.
Okay.
So...
when y'all hunt public land, y'all ever see gallinoos? Y'all come across some gallinoos?
Yeah, but I've never really...
Like, not pool dew, but
marsh
the reds.
Chickens.
Yeah, marsh chickens.
We call them marsh chickens, yeah.
Hey, true story. A few years ago, like in Sherman, where our camp's at, we hunted, and they got a good bit of them over there. So we killed some, and I was like, I had seen a video on that, and I was like, okay, look, man, I'm going to keep a couple of these things. And I said, but I'm not going to tell nobody. I said, I'm going to go ahead and try this myself before I put this out there. And me and Jackson cleaned them. And you basically pull the legs because that's where all the meat's at on a lot of.
Sort of like
and their gizzards are really good. So if you do a gumbo, that type of stuff, it's kind of like pulled for gizzards. But when you clean those and process them, it's like white meat chicken.
Really?
It's delicious. I mean, it's clean and good. It is. We did kebabs with them.
Ooh.
We put them on a skewer with peppers, bell pepper, and smoked sausage, and we grilled them.
Oh,
you talk about freaking delicious.
That sounds great.
It's good.
You can't talk me out of wild game. Like, I was just texting my buddy Frank today, and I'm like, hey, dude, Friday, Nutra season opens.
Oh, yeah?
You know?
Yeah.
Because if you're not in Lafourche or Terrebonne, they have a season on recreation season, which
correct.
Is
wild.
Which is crazy. But... you know, I don't know if you've ever tried Nutra.
I've eaten it. I've eaten it before in a gravy, actually.
It's very good.
Yeah, it is.
It's clean meat.
It's a giant-ass squirrel.
Yeah, it is.
It eats vegetation. It eats vegetation. A squirrel does or anything.
It reminds
like
it. Me, it's kind of like a rabbit and a squirrel almost together.
Yeah, it is.
Yep.
It is.
You get kind of that same, almost the same, like, got to cook it down and get it tender as a squirrel. But you almost get that cleaner meat
texture.
Like you get
it
from
is.
A rabbit.
It is. So, I tell people all the time, because we do cook and we'll do some little videos on that. I used to do more cooking stuff, but I get people from out of state, they always fascinated by Louisiana cooking.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, 100%.
And I always tell people, I say, you give a coon ass any kind of wild game or meat, we'll make it
we'll
taste
make it good.
Look, you give me some yellow onions
yep.
and some smoked sausage, I'll make any wild game
taste
good.
put anything in a crock pot and it's going to be delicious and all that type
100%.
Of stuff.
100%. And I think that's why a lot of people are fascinated with the way we cook, because we cook everything and it's always good.
It's always good.
You know, people come here for the hunting, the fishing, and the cuisine.
If it's not good, they're not from Louisiana originally. I'll just be honest with you.
No, you're right.
They're not. They might be a transplant, but they ain't originally.
That's right.
That's the truth, you know. So, well, kind of going back, I know we're getting close to an hour now, guys, but fishing, as far as Ride Outdoors goes, you guys probably have some of the best damn content I've seen on YouTube in Louisiana with fishing. Maybe all of YouTube, to be honest with you.
Thank you. And
I'm being honest. I'm not just telling y'all that to blow smoke up your ass. I really think your content's good. But, you know, a big part of the passion for outdoors with you guys has to do revolve around fishing, obviously, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, tell everybody a little bit about, you know, how you guys approach new areas here in Louisiana. You know, when you're looking for new spots to go to, kind of what are y'all looking for? Or what brings you joy out on the water? Kayak fishing is a big part of what y'all do.
Kayak fishing is our bread and butter.
We've been doing that since high school.
And that's exploded, man, over the years.
When we got into it, you spend $100 on a sit-inside kayak, and you get your milk crate, you cut PVC pipe, you make a little divot in it, put your rods in it, you bungee corded everything to the kayak, and you just went out and you fished. Now we've got pedal drive kayaks that we can steer with our feet.
I got the power pole. He's got
a
power
pole. They cost as much as boats I sell for a living. You know?
Oh, yeah. We lucked up with ours now. We got a good deal.
But I think, I mean, you know, what you were saying, I think my favorite part about just fishing in general is finding new spots.
Google Maps.
And Grant was about to say it.
Google Maps is our best friend.
Man, we've got on iPhone, you can share notes with one another. Me and Grant have a list.
I mean, it's...
I couldn't tell you how many new spots are there.
You have to scroll a couple times.
And y'all just send it to each
other? Google Maps,
we'll sit there if we're bored. Mm-hmm. He may be at the house. I'm over here. We're doing something. I'll just bring up the computer and just, all right, Google Maps. Oh, they have a little launch right here.
Never seen
that. What's that launch called? And then we'll write it down. Like, all right, we have to go. I mean, we found places in Mississippi.
Yeah,
that
we went
recently.
Mississippi. Yeah, it's on the YouTube.
It's on YouTube.
LaFrance Marina.
LaFrance Marina.
Okay.
We found
right
that
across
on
the,
accident.
Was it right across the Pearl River?
Yeah, right across.
Yeah.
On the coast.
Completely on accident, just scrolling through going, oh, that's good. Oh, that's a marina. And we were like,
let's go hit it.
Yeah. Grabbed a one-day fishing license in Mississippi, which... That's confusing to begin with, but...
Yeah.
Yeah. I've actually had to do that before.
We got it, and we went out, and we caught fish.
Oh, yeah, we caught fish.
The funny part was, we launched, and we went and fished all around, and we caught the most fish in a tiny little pond
right off the road.
Like, right off the road.
Really?
And we caught redfish.
Didn't even need
a
kayak,
Oh, absolutely not.
Yeah.
Could have caught them from the bank.
That's about right.
But that's what's fun about it, I think. You know, like, to me, it kind of got to be where I've fished a lot. And I fished a lot in the same places. And for me, it was like, the excitement of fishing is fun, but the excitement of finding a new spot you've never fished and catching fish, that's it, man. That's where it's at.
Now, is it saltwater fishing that drives y'all? Or does it matter? What's y'all favorite?
I think we kind of argue on that.
It's a toss up.
You seem like you lean toward freshwater. You like ripping bass fishing.
Die hard bass fisherman.
I can tell.
Taylor is super redfish.
Yeah, I love to catch bass. Don't get me wrong, but man.
And they saw it like real.
Oh, 100%.
So really, you kind of both like the same technique and style, just two different species.
Yeah. I'll gladly go fish saltwater, but I love bass.
Guess what? We live in South Louisiana.
It's the best of both worlds. A lot of water here is brackish,
and you can catch bass and redfish in the same place, and I think that's my favorite fishing trips.
Absolutely.
Yeah, man.
You'll get a big old mixed bag of everything.
Well, it's great because one cast, you catch a bass. The next cast, you can catch a redfish.
Exactly.
In the same exact hole. And it's so much fun.
And at some point, sometimes of the year, you can catch trout and flounder right behind a bass and a redfish.
Yep.
You sure can.
It's so much fun. That to me is great.
Do y'all fish tournaments? Do y'all get into tournament fishing, or is it more for the sport?
We have done, like, me and him have fished some benefit tournaments, and that's what I mainly fished. I like to go to the benefit tournaments because at the end of the day, if I lose, I'm not looking to win.
Raising money.
It's raising money for a good cause.
But yeah, I think the sport is what gets me the tournaments, and I like the pressure.
Yeah,
it takes too much of the fun away from fishing.
You're right. Yeah. Y'all right. I used to bass fish tournaments a good bit when I was when Jackson was real young. When we met at Cabela's, we actually all met, and we didn't touch on that, but we all met at Cabela's. That's how I got to know both of y'all personally when we worked there. And back at that time, I was fishing tournaments. And now I don't fish any tournaments because I'm so occupied with other stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't miss it a bit because when I go, it's for the passion. It's like, I just enjoy it, you know?
Yeah, you know, tournaments were fun. You get up in the morning, you're pumped up. Yeah. You're trying to catch those five, you know. But if you get really hard into it, and don't get me wrong, I would love to be a professional bass fisherman on any circuit. You know,
I wanted to. That's a lot of work, though.
Yeah, it is.
But, man, and a tough just living. Being able to go out there and enjoy fishing,
and not having
for what
to stress
it is,
about catching
you
know, fish.
If you catch them, if you catch them, cool. If you don't, oh well.
Yeah,
I mean, it's not a big deal.
Takes away from it.
The worst thing we got to worry about is if we can get footage for to make a new video. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. I got my SD card. Is it clear?
Yeah,
you know, like right. Batteries.
We both bought 256 gigabyte cards.
Yo,
you hit record and you just fish, man.
Like, 10 hours, bro.
That's why it takes us so long. It takes us so long to do a video because
you got
to
go back through.
We have 8 hours of a 6-hour fishing day. We've got 8 hours of clips.
Yeah, that's tough.
It's hard.
It's so hard to get through everything.
Very.
Because I find myself when I'm recording, I try to keep the clips short.
Yeah.
So I don't have to wait like 3 minutes to edit through it and then find the one piece I want to use.
And it's
so
hard. Imagine 4 cameras.
Oh my! Yeah.
8 hours on. You know,
and it's so hard to edit without each other. Like, yeah. I almost need him here because he knows what happened in his day,
that's
and I know
point.
What happened in my day.
So you kind of know where to go
line to. Everything up. All right, man, what did you do at this time, you know, to get... It's so hard to edit without Taylor being here
or
Taylor to edit without me being here unless it's a simple, like,
we get
quick
separated.
To the point.
It's a good point.
While you're fishing, you know, in the kayak.
Yeah.
He can take this bite.
That's what's great about having multiple cameras.
Yeah.
Grant told me, he said the other day, he said, we throw a camera on anybody that comes with us.
Pretty much.
You know, and that's awesome.
Why not?
Yeah.
You know, as long as they're comfortable with
views, you know, and experiences. So, and everybody experiences it different, you know. So that's a great idea, I think, in my opinion. So
we're going to, let's see here.
Hey guys, are you tired of going to big box retail stores looking for the perfect duck call to meet your needs? Well, if that's the case and you're tired of paying high big box prices on cheap duck calls, then check out Locked On Sound Calls. Locked On Sound Calls offers hunters customized, hand-turned, and hand-cut reed duck calls that are some of the most realistic sounding calls in the timber and open waters today for hunters. You can visit them online at LockedOnSound.com and design your favorite duck call in just about any color combination or any design possible. They offer both acrylic and wood calls and at prices that won't break the bank. You can also visit them on social media at LockedOnSound on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok to design your perfect call and have it delivered right to your door in time for hunting season. Don't forget to mention you heard about them right here on Last Stop Waterfowl Outdoors. All right, so let's touch on something else, guys. We're talking fishing, obviously. Now, you guys were telling me y'all took a trip down to the Florida Keys, correct?
Yeah.
Now, when was that? Let's kind of walk us through that. How'd that come about?
2021.
Okay.
Right after.
So during the pandemic.
It was kind of towards the end.
Towards the end of the pandemic.
Yeah. Yeah. And Florida was a little more relaxed.
Really?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, DeSantis country.
Yeah, they didn't have the mask mandate.
Yeah.
If you want to wear it, wear it.
I ain't wearing no fucking mask on a kayak.
The Florida Keys and the Everglades has always been like top tier bucket list trip. And
for
we've
both
always talked about it and always wanted to go. And they were still at the apartment. Him and Frank had an apartment. So I was over there all the time. We were sitting on the couch watching videos, probably of the Everglades.
Or
the Keys or something. And I meant, man, let's go to the Keys. And he was like, yeah, let's do it. And I was like, okay. And, you know, the conversation kind of died down. And meanwhile, I'm scrolling on my phone looking at Airbnbs. And I was like, hold up. We can rent this place for a week. For $600.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
It's like seven nights.
Seven nights.
Yeah.
I think it was eight, to be honest, because we played it on a holiday for work.
Yeah.
Where we only took off like 4 days of...
Yeah.
4 days of
four
work.
4 days of vacation, and
we
got
we
like
left.
8 days of fishing.
And I
so
was like...
$600-$700 for the whole week.
It was $600 flat to stay at... I forget her name, but she was the best.
Super nice lady.
Super nice. It was in her little, like, mother-in-law suite that had, like, a refrigerator and a microwave, a bed, and we brought an air mattress.
Something simple.
Yeah. And I was like, man, it's only $600. He was like, well, yeah, but none of our vehicles get down there. I said, well, screw that. Let's rent something.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
So we went to Hertz, and we rented what was it?
A Ford Transit.
Ford Transit van.
Well, y'all transporting kayaks is what y'all were bringing? Okay, so you go kayaks.
We drove after work from here in Gonzales.
Yeah.
All the way to the Temple, Florida.
Damn.
We stayed in Homestead, Florida, which is right before the Keys. About 20, 30 minutes outside of the first Key.
How far a trip was that from here?
I mean, after work, it turned out to be almost 24 hours of driving.
We stopped and slept at a rest area or two.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's about 22 hours, but I think the funniest part of that whole story, though, was us sitting on the couch talking shit. And Grant was like, hold up.
Let's go.
Look at this Airbnb.
It's actually more affordable.
Then he was like, hey, the deposit is only like $300.
So we booked it that night. And
I was like, I got $150 I can give you now.
I said, yeah. All right. I hit booked. He sent me $150. We booked it. I said, we'll figure out the rest later.
Yeah.
I'm not worried about it.
Yeah, it was great.
You know, that's what's great about it. Y'all age, you ain't got nothing holding you back, tying you down.
Yeah.
Fuck it. Let's go.
And we did.
I think we booked it the following night because we had to go to work to make sure we could get off of work.
But it was
pretty instant.
It was instant, man.
But that's awesome.
So we started thinking about, you know, how are we going to get these kayaks down there? We want to bring the kayaks. We have to bring them.
Yeah.
We're diehard kayak fishermen. We've got to bring them.
Yeah.
So I was like, man, we can get, you know, we talked to my dad. We talked to everybody. I think it was my dad that went, why don't you get a van for like a moving van?
Yeah.
So we looked at like U-Haul, but that was too expensive. Well, Hertz was running a deal, and it was like, I think it was like $350. Unlimited mileage. For 10 days.
And these four transits are huge.
They're huge.
That's a massive vehicle.
Yeah. So I got off of work one day, grabbed my tape measure, and I drove to Hertz. And I went, hey, can you bring the ProMaster, which was the Dodge, and the Ford Transit out and let me measure it?
We told them we were moving
stuff down to Florida, and we needed something long enough to fit in there.
Yeah.
So I went and measured it, and I was like, man, it's going to be close. It's going to be close, but screw it. We'll make it work.
Yep.
So I booked it. We got it, and it was a headache to get it because they wanted to give me... It was not going to fit in the Dodge ProMaster.
Okay.
Only was going to fit in the Ford Transit. So I was like, can you guarantee me a Ford Transit van? And they were like, absolutely, absolutely. I get there, and they're like, well, we only have... I tried to get there. You know, we booked it a couple days ahead of time just to get everything lined up.
Yeah.
And I got there the first day, and they're like, well, we don't have a Ford Transit van. I was like... I have to have this Ford Transit van.
Because these bitches will not fit.
The kayaks are long.
Yeah.
They're 12 and a half. His was 13
and mine was 12.7. Yours was what, 13.6?
Yeah.
And I was like, I have to have it. And they're like, okay, and we're so sorry, whatever. So they were like, come back tomorrow. We're going to have one brought here for you. So I go back tomorrow. I get it. It's a headache because you can't use a debit card. You have to use a credit card.
Oh, God.
You know, it has to do this and that. So we finally get it. We bring it home and we put Taylor's kayak in sideways.
In between the two front seats.
Yeah. We put it up. So our center console was the nose of Taylor's kayak.
Yeah.
But my kayak at the time was so wide in the front, it wasn't going to fit. So we ratchet strapped it. From one end of the van to the other, we built like a little shelf.
We built a hanger for it, essentially.
To hang it in.
So the nose was hanging. Touching the roof, and one was laid in the middle, and we just threw everything on top of it.
Holy shit. I mean, you're talking luggage. We brought all the tackle.
Yeah, threw it
Dude, we had like... We had no clue what
we were getting
poles.
Ourselves into. We brought big rods, little rods, fly rods, just...
Ultralight rods. I mean, we brought everything.
Didn't know what to expect.
Oh, absolutely.
But let me tell you,
you had to have a big vessel.
When you say the
big
perfect,
truck, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, the transit, we had to have, it had to be a certain foot, like footage long.
Yeah.
But I think we couldn't have accidentally booked a more perfect place.
Really?
Oh. Where we stayed was like two blocks from the Everglades Highway that runs fully across the state from east coast to west coast. And we were like two blocks from there and like 20 minutes from the first key.
Oh, before the key. That just worked out perfect.
It worked out perfect.
Maybe an hour and a half, 2 hours to the to Key West.
Like, yeah, Key West was like 2 hours.
We went to Key West just
45 miles an hour.
Yeah, just got to get some. Yeah,
I mean,
we fished all in between the Keys. And one thing about like South Florida, man, there's state parks everywhere.
Is there?
And every one of them.
They're $2-3
to $3 to get in. Really? And every one of them has like a canoe kayak launch.
Oh, that's cool. Yep.
And we were throwing in, like, you'd have a hole, you know, no bigger than the kayak, and you'd have to like lay on the kayak to get in. And we were shoving them through, walking through the bushes, getting in them. And man, it was great.
Crazy. It was fun. Snook,
if you want.
Well, I was going to say, how's the fishing? I mean, obviously you hear how famous it is for the fishing, but what did y'all catch? You know, did it live up to the expectations?
Absolutely. In every shape of your imagination, it is perfect.
Yeah, it is.
I love bass. Mm-hmm. I love red fishing. If I could fish for one fish for the rest of my life, it would be snook.
Snook.
Because it's like a bass and a redfish got together, had a baby, and then you inject it with steroids, and it's just insane.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Aggressive as hell.
You ever seen a smallmouth, how they call it, bottle rockets?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Just like that.
Yeah. Smallmouth
insane fight.
Yeah.
And just pound for pound, just muscle.
And, dude, it's so much fun to watch them.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of that water down there is super clear. And I mean, you can skip a bait up underneath the mangroves, and you're retrieving that bait back quick. They love it fast. And you'll see five of them. Coming after. Yeah, they're
what
super
What you throwing
aggressive.
For snook? What were y'all catching them at?
Honestly, flukes.
We use flukes. Zoom flukes.
Good old Zoom
white
flukes.
Zoom flukes.
And, I'll be damned.
And, you know, what was it? Overcast lures.
Overcast from Pierre Park.
Yeah, yeah.
We threw one of his swim baits. I can't remember the name now, but.
They were hitting.
Just on a jig head, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty aggressive.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And I think that was really fun. And also, I mean, we just caught so many different things.
We caught.
You know, all kind of different snappers.
I caught Paku, which is a South American fish.
Yeah.
Mayan cichlids.
Yep.
They had flower horn. We saw bala sharks, like aquarium fish, just swimming in the water. Yeah, it's insane down there.
South Florida, I mean, it's full from the aquarium trade and all the hurricanes.
Yeah,
they have all sorts of invasive
peacock
fish
bass.
Yeah, I guess that's why we get so much stuff.
We never could catch it.
My number one enemy right now is a peacock bass.
Yeah, we couldn't get
them. We tried so hard.
We tried while we were there, and it
couldn't get them.
No.
Yeah, that's a beautiful fish too. Mm.
But the fishery is insane. It kind of reminds me of here because one way 20 minutes you're in. Salt water.
Yeah.
I mean, pure salt water. But you go 20 minutes the other direction, and you're catching saltwater fish and freshwater fish.
Yeah, you can catch anything.
Yeah, and Florida's just such a melting pot of fish. Like he said, it's freshwater, it's saltwater, but it's also East Coast, West Coast.
Yep.
Yeah. You know, East Coast Gulf. You know, you've got all the different massive tarpon and huge sharks and just... Yeah.
You can really do everything.
You can, yeah.
Catch anything.
Yeah, there's guys on the East Coast of Florida and even like South Georgia and all that. They go offshore on the kayaks and catch sailfish.
Yep.
You know, because your deep water is right there off the beach.
Correct.
Yep. And that place is insane. The fishery there is amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's so much you can do. I think it's almost endless.
Yeah. If I couldn't be here, I would be there.
You'd be there. That, correct. I can tell y'all definitely go back for sure.
Oh, 100%.
That's something you would do again.
Yeah. I could definitely live there.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
That's
too.
Awesome, man.
And that's
cool
the other
trip
thing.
To take.
Just the experience
of
being there, man, is so beautiful. Even in the Everglades, reminds you kind of the marsh. You got that dark, that dark colored water and all the bushes and
stained
trees.
Water.
Mm-hmm. And then an hour down into the Keys, just like you're in a different country.
Really?
Yeah.
Just crystal changes. Clear blue water.
Yeah, just that Bahama type water, you know, just beautiful.
Just,
The
Everglades is crazy. We got chased by an alligator.
I bet.
First time.
First time I've ever
fished here my whole life in Louisiana.
Yeah, I've been around alligators.
Correct.
Yeah,
yeah. You know, it's not like y'all shocked to see an alligator.
We were paddling through, and she was kind of like bellowing and shaking the water and growling, and we were like, okay, so we started paddling a little faster because we didn't have pedal drives. And then this is why he's laughing, is I'm paddling, he's paddling. Why? Taylor's picking it up a little bit faster.
Taylor's getting the hell out of here.
And I'm right behind him, and then she turned and started like, aggressively coming after us, and Taylor was like, he left me.
Gone.
And I was like, what the hell, man? He was like, look, I gotta be faster than you. That's all that matters. And he's paddling.
It's who's in better shape at that
point. Oh, yeah.
And I'm serious, man. I mean, we fished. You can ask Graham. I mean, we put kayaks in everywhere.
Yeah.
And you know just as well as we do.
I know, man. Just watching y'all. I want to go with y'all. I'm going to be honest with y'all. I want to take a trip
anytime.
Because
y'all
fish some pretty cool-ass spots. I'm gonna
say I think a lot of people... And, of course, nowadays with social media, you know, kayak fishing is a lot more popular, but people still get the misconception that, you know, kayak fishing is not as successful or it's such hard work. Or I can tell you now, I've got spots. Me and Grant's got spots. You don't have to paddle 100 feet.
Yeah.
And you're catching fish.
Get into them.
And you're catching 10 times as much as somebody in a boat. And those boats can't get to where we are.
Yeah. And that's the other great
that's best cool. part.
Yeah, that's a great
part. And I like fishing off of a kayak. It's something that I've dabbled in a little bit myself, and then we use it for duck hunting season. Mm-hmm. But I like fishing out of a kayak. It's different catching a fish out of a kayak than it is out of a boat.
But is it not a blast?
It's a blast. Yeah, it is fun. It's
even
fun
a pound bass.
It'll pull
whip
you
with that kayak around.
Correct.
Just
and
so
just the angles, man. It's so different than in a boat.
Yes.
You're so low to the water. You know, you throw in a spinner bait, stuff that you're just so used to doing out of a normal size boat. You got to kind of change things up a little bit in a kayak because you don't have as much room to move around.
Yeah, but you know, like when I was younger, back when, you know, 16, 17. During the summer in high school, I would go, my uncle lives on the diversion canal.
Yeah.
I would just go drop the kayak in. And you know how easy it is to flip for bass underneath the docks?
I can almost, I can almost cast better in a kayak than I can in a actual boat.
You're so used to it now. Mm-hmm.
I can get down and I can toss it right next to me and it'll, I mean, I've skipped them so perfectly across the water, under stuff. You're lower to the water, you're closer, and you get different angles. And
it's great. Yeah, I think you really do have an advantage when it comes to that. If you like flipping and pitching docks or like any type of heavy cover, it's so much easier in a kayak.
Really?
Yeah.
I would never think that.
Oh, absolutely. My God. You don't have to flip underneath docks in a kayak. You just kind of sidearm it.
Yeah.
And you're in the back of that dock all the way
down. Yeah, that makes sense.
Something that you probably couldn't do from a boat, trying to get all the way to the back of the dock.
You're more lower to the water. Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, it does make a lot of sense, to be honest with you.
I think just the exhilaration of it, man. I mean, hook into a 25-inch, 26-inch redfish in a kayak.
Pull you around.
Oh, man, it's a blast.
Take you for a Cajun taxi.
What? That's right.
Somewhere.
Yeah.
You know?
It's insane.
It's hard to beat for me.
Now, we've caught some big bulls in the kayak. Oh, one of them.
Yeah, 30
most
plus
recent
founders.
I could think is that big one I caught.
Wrigley's.
And Wrigley.
Wrigley's.
Yeah.
Yep. And throwing a little, you know, underspin. And I went, thump. And I went, oh, crap. Because
hold on.
He took off and it was, I thought I was going to lose. It was through grass. I had like 40 pounds of grass on this like big old, big nasty bull.
And what rod were you throwing?
And I was throwing a medium light.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Our medium casting rod, and I mean, I was like, I'm gonna either break this rod, the fish is gonna snap off, or I'm going in the water with him.
Yeah, correct.
It's great.
It's fun though, man. It is just a little bit.
It's a different world.
It's a different world.
Yeah,
you're right. It's I see why it's gained so much popularity. You know, through the years, because it absolutely exploded here in Louisiana.
Yeah,
you know, at one point. So
I think it's a lot to do with access in Louisiana.
Yeah,
I think the access here. I mean, you have so much water. I mean, just look at Highway 1 down towards Fouchon.
Anywhere down Highway 1, drop in. Somewhere.
You can launch a kayak and catch redfish and trout everywhere alongside the river.
Yeah,
I have. You know, that whole area is like that.
So if you're listening and you're not from Louisiana, guys, you've been wanting to take that trip down to Louisiana to come down and do some fishing. Hit us up, man. Hit us up. Hit these guys up at Riot Outdoors, and they would be more than happy to help you guys. And trust me, they're the ones that you want to talk to because they have the hours in the marshes down here. That when it comes to the South Louisiana coastline, these guys are the guys you want to talk to. So
we're not scared to share it.
Yeah,
no. Our messages are always open, and we will tell you everything down to the bait. It's just to get you out there and enjoy it. That brings me happiness to get somebody else on a big old redfish. Oh, man, you know, you told me to do this, and look what I got. And, I mean, that's awesome. That's just an awesome feeling.
That's awesome to hear that, too, man. Well, guys, so as we come in to close out the show, where can people, they could also go scout you guys out on YouTube, Instagram.
Yeah.
You can check out a lot of y'all fishing videos as well, but where can they find you? Let everybody know where's the best place to find you.
So we have YouTube, Instagram, we're kind of dabbling in. Mm-hmm. We've both got our personal Instagrams that, you know, we're welcome to follow along. You can find them on probably any of our Riot Outdoor pages. Most of us are tagged in it.
Yeah.
Facebook and YouTube are like our main
top two right now.
Okay. And it's under Riot Outdoors.
Riot Outdoors. And it's a picture of two guys holding fish with Riot Outdoors in the back.
That's okay. No, when you search it comes right up.
Yeah,
YouTube, man.
Yeah, y'all out there, a lot of popularity, a lot of steam with all the stuff y'all doing.
Yep.
So that's good, man. You guys are a lot more easy to find than some of the other stuff out there. So congratulations. First of all, as I want to thank you so much for being on the show this weekend and taking the time to sit down and talk to us. I know we thought it went pretty quickly, but thank y'all so much. I appreciate what you guys do for outdoorsmen in general, specifically outdoorsmen here in Louisiana. And I'm glad to call you guys friends of mine. I hope we get to hook up, take some fishing trips soon, and also this hunt season, I'd like to hook up with you guys.
Oh, absolutely. That's
definitely. Yeah, let's make it happen.
We've been talking about it for a while. I know.
We're going to do it this year. We're going to make it happen this year. Hopefully, we got enough water where I can take out a few spots we can get to.
Yeah.
And we can get on some ducks and kill some ducks this year. But, guys, thank y'all so much once again. And, guys, thank you all for, as well, listening to this week's episode. I hope y'all enjoyed sitting down with Taylor and Grant from Riot Outdoors. And don't forget to check them out on all their social media platforms. You can also visit us on all the social media platforms at Last Stop Waterfowl Outdoors. And don't forget to support and check out all the great sponsors that you guys are hearing on this episode. But that's all we got for y'all this week. And until next time, this is Jacob, Last Stop Waterfowl Outdoors. We'll talk to y'all again soon, guys. Take care. Guys, let's talk fishing for a minute. When you're looking for bait and tackle for all your fishing needs, look no further than Benoit's Performance Baits. Benoit's Performance Baits offer some of the best soft plastics for bass, sackalay, and saltwater species. Rather it's a day on the water or trying to catch a mess of fish for a family fish fry or a heavy bag to win a tournament, Benoit's Performance Baits has what you need and what the fish want. You can visit us on social media on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok to place your order today with Benoit's Performance Baits.